It was the summer of 1862 when I started my new job. My brother, Henry, had gone away to join the Union Army to fight against the Confederates, leaving my young sister, Sally, and me with our mother. At the time, Mother was taking in sewing work. She had been among the first to invest in a Singer machine, but the meager pittance she earned for hours and hours of back-breaking effort was barely enough to pay back the higher purchase on the machine, let alone cover all of our other living costs. I was 18 when I found myself to be the main breadwinner in our family. It was a strange time. Women weren't really thought of as the workforce in New York. Yet suddenly, with the ever-decreasing male population who were leaving to sign up in the Federal Army, we were left with little choice but to support ourselves and find the best work we could. Most went on to factory work, or became waitresses in tea rooms and bars, while others, like me, found their employment in the still-thriving center of the grid that constituted New York. I was luckier than most. I landed a prime job at Tiffany & Co. on Fifth Avenue in Lower Manhattan. It felt like an adventure going to work. I was good with figures and well turned out. It was what made me stand out in the sea of applicants who applied for the job of sales assistant. That first morning, I donned my uniform, an austere black skirt, high-necked white blouse, and a formal fitted day jacket that matched the skirt. Underneath the long skirt, I wore my most comfortable walking shoes. I was wearing a corset, too, but Mother had fastened it loosely, even though by then I was quite used to wearing them. Shop rules stated that all the female assistants had to wear their hair swept up and away from their face. I'd never worn mine so formally before, and I marveled at how sophisticated I looked as Sally and Mother put in the last pins, and my hair was held securely high on top of my head. "That should hold," said Mother, adding a final pin for good measure. There was no point in complaining, though. To do so would have brought forth a lecture that I'd learnt by heart. "Cat, you have a responsibility to this family now. You're the eldest. What would happen to Sally if you don't go to work? Be sensible, do as you're told, and bring home your pay every Friday." Mother's lecture was unnecessary, however. I wanted to work, and the opportunity that Tiffany's afforded meant more to me than the continuing education my family had originally planned. "There," said Mother, finally satisfied. I stared at my reflection. My full, wavy black hair was now tamed, and the uniform, as severe as it was, made me look grown up. Mother handed me her best paste brooch. It contained amber and red glass, and it looked like real precious stones, even though we all knew it wasn't. I fastened it on the blouse at my throat, and I stood up and stepped back from the dresser to survey my look.
"My word," Mother said. "You look so..."
"You look like a married lady," Sally piped up.
She was 11 and had the habit of saying whatever popped into her head. Mother often chose to ignore it, but I was sure that Sally was so outspoken because no one ever told her not to be.
"Very sophisticated, I was going to say," said Mother.
I lifted the black jacket from the back of the chair and slipped it on, quickly buttoning it. My bosom was accentuated by the way the coat fitted, because it buttoned up to just underneath. I turned around, looking at the back of the skirt. The bustle was small, a little old hat by Paris fashion, but modesty was the key thing about the uniform.
"Ready?"
asked Mother. "Yes," I said.
"Then you would better get going.
You don't want to be late your first day," she said,
placing a small package in my hand, wrapped up with string. I stared at the package blankly.
"Your lunch, dear," said Mother.
"Of course,"